his biceps bulging like a boxer's. I'm sure no one had failed to notice his pecs. His shirt sometimes got stuck to his chest in summer, and you couldn't miss them. I often wondered what he looked like under those white shirts of his. More than wondered. When he wore light white shirts, I could not resist the temptation of checking out his chest. It looked so broad, with muscles clearly sculpted like a wrestler. You could see he had a smooth chest, as sometimes, when he had taken off his tie and had undone his top buttons, I found myself looking at his glistening skin. I never saw a single hair. Maybe he shaved. Anyway, he had never liked me, and he had told me that I could not afford to make another mistake. That's why I was so nervous that day. However, I thought I'd been lucky that day, as when I arrived at the office, still a few minutes late, I peeked through the open door of his office guiltily, and I could not see him. Phew! So I sat at my desk and started checking my work emails. I expected to see him coming in at any time, but instead I was taken by surprise when I heard his voice coming from the office. "Joe," he called out to me, "make sure you come in to see me at 10:30. He sounded quite annoyed, even angry. Actually, he was pissed off. The looks of my colleagues sitting at their desk said it all. I braced myself up. All I could do was hope that I would get away with a slap on my wrist. Still, more than an hour to go, I waited and waited, checking the clock on the wall, spitefully hanging in front of my desk, as if to remind me that my hours with the company were counted. I looked up every 5 minutes. In a way, I just wanted to get done with it. 10:30 came. I stood up, pretending everything was okay, while in reality I was shaking like a leaf. I stepped slowly towards to boss's office. His door was closed, so I knocked. No answer. I thought maybe he had been called away to a meeting, but I knocked again. This time his voice came from behind the door. "Come in, Joe," he said with his very firm, authoritative tone. I knew then I was in deep trouble. I opened the door slowly and looked inside. He was sitting on his big leather swivel chair, the new one he had just had delivered, which made him look even more authoritative, even more bossy. He had his feet on the desk, a habit he must have caught when he was working in the States. I had often seen him do that. It is very rude in Britain, but in a strange sort of way it suited him. It made him look even more confident, more self-assured, and more in charge. I paced slowly towards his desk, trying to avoid meeting his eyes. "Sit down, Joe," he said with a firm but polite tone. I was surprised to detect some kindness in his voice. I'd expected him to be furious, but maybe this was the calm before the storm. I sat down in front of him. I felt so small, looking at his long legs on the big mahogany table. His chair was so much higher than mine. "Another cock up, Joe," he started, but then he paused. "Sorry, Jack, it wasn't really my fault," I muttered back. "I'm sorry, Joe, you'd been warned," he replied, cutting me off. "But," I tried to say. "But nothing." He stopped me halfway through my sentence. "We can't keep you in your present job." I didn't know what to answer. In a way, I'd expected it. Yet, you always think it's never really going to happen to you. So, that was it, I thought, and I could already see my colleagues' faces staring at me in silence, with pity in their eyes, as I cleared my desk. "Still," Jack started after a pause, "the felt like hours. We are restructuring the company, very soon indeed, and there may be another job for you." Another job? Wow. So he didn't hate me after all. That was at least some hope. I didn't even think about asking what kind of job it was. Anything would do. "Thanks, Jack. I really appreciate it," I stuttered, not knowing what else to say. "Hold on. Don't jump the gun. It's not yours yet," he was quick to reply. "Of course, Jack, whenever..." I didn't know where I was going with it, so I stopped myself. "It requires a bit of overtime, meaning..."